Galileo, 300 years ago, said, well, actually, the sun's kind of the center of the solar system. Right? And so now most people believe, oh yeah, the Earth rotates around the sun. The Earth isn't the center. Well, actually, in the last 2 years, right, there's a guy named Brian Schwinn. He's a quantum physicist and astrophysicist. He actually proved that, well, the Earth actually is the center of the universe, as well as every other place in the universe. The universe is actually omnicentric, which means that every single point in the universe is the actual center and birthplace of the universe. You probably won't see that for a couple of years, and it doesn't matter, you don't have to believe it. My point is that we have these belief systems about what we think is true. What's real? And they're constantly always changing. The only thing that's ever true about your beliefs and what we know and what we think is real is it's always constantly changing. So it's kind of like, okay, so what's really true? Right? How many of you believe in gravity? Gravity is just, it's just the way that it is. It's just what's so. It's not a belief. Actually, it's a belief. I'm not saying it's true or false, because remember, we're not listening through the filter of true or false, right or wrong. We're listening through, right, understanding how we can change your beliefs to make our lives more like what we want. You do things with your belief, right? If you didn't believe in gravity, right, if you didn't have that fundamental fact of gravity so, right, you wouldn't be able to do things like sit or walk, right, that wouldn't exist, right? So we have all these belief systems, we have all this stuff, that it's just the way that it is. We don't even think of them as beliefs. That's the whole point of this little part right here. You don't have to believe anything I said other than understanding that there's so much of what is going on in our head that we don't even think of as a belief system. Just the way that it is. Well, that kind of hair's put a little wedge in there and go, maybe it's actually a belief system. Right? Somehow that's how you do it with this one. Now, other examples of common belief systems that people have that are kind of more real and more easily graspable belief systems are things like, I can't do it. Some of you have heard of the expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I've heard
it. I get snapped. Right? They're just belief systems, right? Some belief systems are a lot more obvious than others, right? If you have the belief system that I can't do it, right, even before you start to attempt to try something, what do you think you're going to try to do it if you believe from the beginning you can't do it? No. Right? Because your belief system says, I can't do it. And now, even if you do try it, what do you think is going to end up happening? You're probably going to prove you can't do it, just like your belief system. Right? It's like one of my favorite quotes is by Henry Ford. It says, if you believe you can or if you believe you can't, you're right. Now, there starts to be some other belief systems that start to be a little bit more on the radar. Well, like, let me give you another example one. One of my favorite ones, men are pigs. Everybody knows that, right? Men are pigs. Well, some people actually believe that if it's true, and they go, and their proof is this, is that if they go out and they say, oh, men are pigs, so what's my proof? All men that I end up dating are pigs, and therefore all men are pigs. Right? I'm actually going to explain some of these belief systems and how it works in your mind. Some of them are less subtle, like, I don't deserve it. I'm not lucky. Right? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't do math. I can't do English. I ain't a good English speaker. Right? There's all these beliefs that we have that are more subtle, and they're going to affect us in many ways. If you have a belief that you don't speak English very well, or English isn't your strong suit, that belief can affect you in a job interview. It's going to affect what jobs you do and don't get. Right? That belief can affect you in relationships with other people. Right? Your beliefs are all pervasive because your unconscious mind, your non-conscious mind that controls and runs your entire body, doesn't discern between having a belief now and not having a belief now. It has the beliefs all the time when they're there. Everything you're doing gets affected by them. So how does that work? Your RAS, your reticular activating system, or your unconscious mind. It's a big fancy word, you don't have to know it. I'm going to call it your RAS from this point forward. But what it is it's like Google. Right? Everybody know what Google is? Right? What happens when you type in, like, cars into Google and you hit enter? What happens? One person's going, I don't know. It's a search engine. Well, what happens when you type in cars into Google is you get all this related information back to cars. Your mind has a similar thing. It's called the RAS, reticular activating system. Right? What happens is that there's millions and millions of billions of things going on right now. Right? And you're not conscious of everything that's happening at this moment. Before you read that, before I said, you feel the clothes on your back, how many people are actually aware of the clothes on their back? Right? Do you feel the chair underneath your butt? Do you feel the shoes on your feet? Right? We have all this information coming into our head, and there's only, 2,000 bits of information that we're consciously aware of. Right? So our brain is processing about 4 billion bits of information. That's what scientists tell us. Give or take a couple billion, right? But 4 billion bits of information our brain's processing every moment. So then what happens is we're consciously aware of, depending on who you talk to, about 2,000 bits of that information. So out of the 4 million bits of information that our brain has going on in it right now, what 2,000 are we consciously aware of? Right? It's the RAS's job. It's that reticular activating system. It's the RAS's job to bring to our conscious awareness, out of those 4 billion bits, what it wants to about those 2,000. Right? And how it does that? What determines that? What picks that? How does the RAS go, okay, this projector noise I'm going to become aware of, but that computer noise I'm not? How does the RAS pick that? Right? The RAS picks that. The RAS picks that based on your belief systems, based on your programming, based on your experiences. And I'll explain that in a moment. I'm going to explain the slide issue here. Right? So this is billions of bits of information. Right? So to put this in perspective, right? How much of this picture are you consciously aware of at any one time that's going on in your brain every second? Done right there? Right? That dot's way too big, but that's the smallest I could make it. Right? In relationship to that picture, you're conscious of about that amount of dot compared to the picture. That picture is what's happening in your brain every second, and this is what you're consciously aware of. And your reticular activating system's job is to bring that dot to your conscious awareness. And it picks, out of all of this picture, it picks that dot. And that dot to bring to your conscious awareness only. That's 2,000 representation of 4 billion that's happening. So, wouldn't it be kind of important to know what that dot is? To pick the right dot? Right? And that's kind of what we're talking about as far as how your beliefs do it. And this is what starts creating your self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, let me explain that. Sometimes we have this metaphysics, right? So you have this picture, you have this belief system that's laid in front of it like this, that says men are pigs. Right? And so your reticular activating system goes, okay, what I need to find is I need to go out there like Google and I need to search and find all the men that are pigs. And now it gives you choices. It brings to your conscious awareness the choice of all the men that are pigs. And so no matter what you choose, you get the same thing. Men are pigs. See, everybody I date proves men are pigs. Because who did you have to choose from? You only had to choose from that which your conscious awareness brought to you. And let me use a different example. Let's say you believe that you're not lucky. Right? And so now what happens is your conscious awareness, our reticular activating system brings to your conscious awareness only those choices which are going to prove that you're not lucky. Okay? One of my favorite examples is finding money. Right? People are rich, get rich, and poor, get poor. Right? Well, what happened, me and my sister, brother-in-law, kids, at the zoo. Right? I'm walking in the very back, and we're just walking down the road. And everybody's walking, and I'm like, oh, $5. And everybody in front of me walks right past it, and is laying right there. What does your reticular activating system bring to your conscious awareness? Everybody in front of me, it wasn't that money. It was right there for them to see. But if they didn't have the choice, if they were not consciously aware of that money, could they choose to pick it up?
No, they didn't know what
it did. Exactly. You can only choose from the choices that you're conscious of. That's it. You can't choose from something you're not aware of. You can't choose from a choice that doesn't exist for you. And the only choices that come to your conscious awareness are those choices which your reticular activating system gives to you. Right? Out of those billions of bits of information of that whole picture, your reticular activating system, your RAS, brings only certain ones to your conscious awareness to choose from. And that's why it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, where no matter what you choose, you seem to always get the same results. Because guess what your choices are limited to? That which your RAS brings to your awareness. And so remember, this is just the background information, understanding, getting us to the point where you start actually changing and making the differences in your belief systems. Okay? So the question is, what are your beliefs? Now, actually, you know what I need to do? So what are your beliefs? Okay? Beliefs are often choices or decisions that you made. At some point you said, I'm not lucky. At some point you said, I'm not good. At some point you said, you create a belief often by just you deciding, this is what I'm going to believe, based on experience, based on what just happened. That's a lot of beliefs you just simply chosen. Beliefs are, you can also have beliefs your parents programmed you with. Right? Catholic Church says, give me a kid for the age of 0-5 and they'll be, in our church forever. Okay, I'm going to pick on the Catholics a bit. I was raised Catholic. But our program and our beliefs come from, a lot of times, our parents as well. They say things, they believe them, and so the kids believe them just like the parents do. Right? Beliefs come from the beliefs, right or wrong, true or false. If you decided to believe it, guess what? You believe it. You often create rules, like something bad happens, and so you say to yourself, okay, I don't want that bad thing to happen to me ever again, and so if I have this rule, that will never happen to me again. Like, let's say you fell down and really hurt yourself rollerblading. Right? That's kind of a silly rule, so you make up the rule, okay, I'm never going to rollerblade again, because then I can't fall down and get hurt, right? And so now you walk around with this rule that I'm never going to rollerblade, and you start believing that if you ever rollerblade again, you're going to fall. So guess what happens if you ever actually have to be forced in a situation where you do that? Now, if rollerblading, you probably wouldn't, but there's other situations in life where sometimes that's what you do. Okay? So those beliefs are infected. You have to make them up out of rules. Things that are often so, this is the gravity one, right? Things that have always been so, say, just accept them. I love how we have no idea how electricity works. Right? Scientists, nobody has any idea how electricity works. How does it work?
Well, electricity is generated. So.
So how does it work?
Well, I can't remember the detail. I got off the bat. There's positive and negative, and
we'll say this. Personally, everything that I've read, everybody that I know, nobody knows how electricity actually works. Right? And again, it's not about true or false, right or wrong. Even if they do know, that's fine. But the point is with this is that, so how does electricity work? Nobody knows. But yet, we don't walk around, like, even more importantly, let's make it better. Does anybody here know how electricity works? But have you ever questioned, wait a second, this electricity thing, I don't know how it works, so I don't think I'm going to use it. We should turn off all the lights. No, because it's always been there. Right? Or you go in, how does your car work? Anybody know how their car works?
Turn the key on.
Exactly. You don't sit here and question and go, oh my gosh, I don't know how my car works. I'm not going to use it. Because it's always been there. And the way our mind works is it starts taking stuff and stuff that's always been there, we just believe it, accept it, don't question it, but yet we really have no idea how most of it works. But something that hasn't always been there, that comes along, and what's the first thing that everybody usually starts doing? Oh, how does that work? I don't know if I can do that. And they start questioning, even though it's totally unknown, just like everything else in their life. But since it hasn't always been there, all of a sudden it's something new. And that's what I mean by these beliefs about it's always been there, so we just accept them. We don't question them. Right? Medicine. You take a pill and it gets rid of your headache. Again, we have no idea how aspirin works. Right? But physiological go ahead.
Well, I was saying beliefs are formulated by what we've been taught.
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of it. Right? What your parents believe you. Part of what you believe is what you're taught. Part of what you believe are the decisions you make. Part of what you believe are the rules you make up. Part of what you believe are your experiences. Part of what you believe is just what's always been so. So you just believe it. You don't question. Right? Things you think are facts, like gravity, like the world is the center of the universe, like the Earth rotates around the sun. It's not the center of the universe. Like, oh, actually the center of the Earth and every single place is the center of the universe. Right? And so beliefs come from all different sorts of places. Right? So now the question is, I want to answer is, why does the RAS bring certain information to our conscious awareness, and why does a lot of it get left out? Right? It's a safety mechanism. Right? Imagine thousands of years ago, you're walking through the forest, right? And nothing's moving, nothing's changing, nothing's moving, but there's movement up there. Something's different, something's changing. Do you think it's going to be important to know what that is? Yeah, and your reticular activating system learned that. It learned that things that stay exactly the same, you have no need to remember, because it's not important. Sameness is not a threat. Your reticular activating system learned that change is a danger. Might be a tiger. Right? That's something moving, something different. I need to know. It might be a tiger. It might be a threat to my well-being. Sameness has never really been a threat. And so part of what your reticular activating system chooses to bring to your awareness is what is different. Right? Because sameness stays the same. And so it starts bringing difference. That's part of what brings into our awareness from the reticular activating system, right? Is that safety mechanism of what's different, that programming that we've been programmed to basically stay alive, right? Keeping us sane is the other big reason, right? What happens for a lot of people when they literally go psychotic is their outside world doesn't match up with the inside world, right? What they see going on, what they hear going on, what's actually happening in their hallucinations, whatever, isn't matching up with the real world and what they think is happening. So what happens is if our outside world doesn't match up with our inside world, that's what causes insanity in a lot of people. Not everybody, but that's what causes insanity. The outside world not matching up with the inside world. And so your reticular activating system goes, okay, right? I need to match up, I need to find a match out there for what these beliefs, for what these thoughts are, for what these experiences are in here. Right? So what it does is it goes out then and it finds and it scans and it brings to your conscious awareness all the things that match up with what you have on the inside. Question. And so it's like, so if you have a belief system, pick another one that viruses make you sick, right? What's going to happen is your reticular activating system is going to go out and it's going to bring to your conscious awareness that stuff which matches up with that belief system. Right? Now, today, in today's world, we don't have to worry about tigers. We don't have to worry about a lot of this stuff that our minds used to have to deal with. Okay, we've got to worry about the bus when we cross the road. Okay? Change, movement, different, need to know. But for the most part now, our minds have all this capacity that's not being tapped into, that isn't being used anymore because of the new environment that we live in. And so a lot of now, you'll hear a lot of people talking about your beliefs, your minds creating reality as some sort of like New Agey bombastic thing or a bomb or whatever, right? But now, the finding money that I'm talking about is that example, and it's not like your thoughts actually go out and manifest out of thin air your reality. Right? But what happens is your belief systems and thoughts bring to your conscious awareness those choices which are going to be in alignment with your beliefs and thoughts. And so if your only choices that you can choose from are that which are in alignment of your beliefs and thoughts, it's going to create a reality for you that matches up with your beliefs and thoughts. Because those are the only things you have to choose from. It's impossible for you not to have that which you're thinking about, that which your beliefs are, because your RS is only going to bring to your conscious awareness those things. And so therefore, no matter what you choose, that's what you choose from, because that's what's being brought to your awareness. And so that's why it's like, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy again, right? Is that when you believe a certain thing, you're always going to get that no matter what you choose, because that's the only choices you have available to you because of your RAS. Until you change your beliefs, until you change the inner workings of your thoughts and beliefs in here, that's the only choices that are going to be presented to you. Now, Past experiences, decisions, learning, all that stuff goes in, and that goes into the programming of the RAS. And the RAS takes it in, and that's kind of how like how the Google works. It takes all that information, takes all those websites out there, puts them in here, and filters them based on those beliefs and thoughts and what's happening, and brings back the selected results that it thinks you want, based on the programming that was put into it. Right? So why is this all important? Okay. I would say maybe there are billions and billions of choices. You only get 2,000 of them. And so depending on what your those belief systems and the programming have brought to your conscious awareness, it's going to totally dictate what you choose. Right? So, what do you believe? Do you believe that viruses cause sickness, that bacteria cause disease? Right? Do you believe the medical profession is helpful? I like that one. That's my favorite. Do you believe that chiropractic and natural health is quackery? Do you believe symptoms are the problem? Do you believe high cholesterol is a problem? Do you believe that there, if you got arthritis, there's nothing you can do about it? Right? Everybody knows that. Right? Do you believe you have no control over your thoughts and emotions? So remember, it's not about are these right or wrong. I don't care what the facts are behind these. What I'm concerned with is, if you have any of these belief systems, is it going to serve you? Is it going to create a world that makes your life more like you want? Now, I didn't say that, actually, it isn't. Right? That these beliefs aren't going to support you in creating a world that you want. I'll get to those at the end. So I'm going to talk about now, here's kind of these things you may want to write down, right? Because this is now kind of this. So how do you change these beliefs? Does everybody see how their beliefs are totally going to dictate the choices that they make because of how the RAS brings to your conscious awareness only that which is programmed into it? And so therefore, the only way you can really create something different in your life is to change your beliefs. Right? Otherwise, you'll just keep making the same choices from the same options that are dictated by the same beliefs. Right? Do we have a piece of paper or pen? We actually have the slide. I actually have all these slides on the website, ucdswellness.com. So if you don't want to write it down, you can go to the website, get web access to this later. But next row over. We have two people here. No, I'm going to go the other way.
I have pieces of paper.
There should be pens in there unless they move them.
Yeah, I know
the paper. So, the most common way that people change their beliefs is through information. Now, one of the worst beliefs in the world to have is this one. This is, like, of all the beliefs to have, this is my personal opinion, this is the worst belief in the world. Some people have the belief that it takes a long time to change beliefs. Right? Now, if you have that belief, how long is it going to take for you to change your beliefs?
A long time.
So first of all, we have to take a long time to change the belief that it takes a long time to change your beliefs. Then we can actually go and change your beliefs. Okay? So if you have that belief that it takes a long time to change your beliefs, okay, I recommend throwing out that belief. And I know it's tough. It's like a catch-22. It's like, it takes a long time to change them. And you're telling me to change it right away. I can't because I believe it. If you have that, I apologize. It's one of the worst ones to have. Right? You can just throw it out. I know you can change beliefs instantaneously. I've seen it. I've done it. I've worked with people and done it. Right? You can believe that or not, but it really can happen in an absolute instant. And so if you still want to hold on to the belief that it takes a long time to change the beliefs, all right, it's going to be more difficult. Enjoy. Does it serve you? All right, that's what I'm not talking about. Is it true or false? Is it right or wrong? I don't care. Right? If it doesn't serve you, my opinion is get rid of it. So, new information is one of the most common ways that people change their beliefs. Psychetechnique.com, right? Dr. Dietz does that. I do it. I don't think anybody else does it. We're not really seeing that many people anymore. But it's a really great technique. You can buy videos, go to a seminar on it. It basically instantaneously changes your belief systems, right? There's other ways to do it as well. Limiting decisions. I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well. Like, if you decided at some point that this is what you believe, if you get rid of that decision, that limiting decision, guess what? you won't believe that anymore. You're right? So other ways to do it. Changing your beliefs with conversion therapy, I'm going to go over how to do that as well. Arguing against your beliefs, I'm going to go over that. Hypnotherapy, I'm not going to go over it, but I'm going to talk about that, how it works. New habit conditioning, I'm going to go over that as well. And timeline therapy and NLP, I'm not going to go over that, but I'll talk about it. Okay? So the ones you're actually going to learn today, I'm going to give you some new information that's going to start changing some of your beliefs. I'm going to actually show you how to change your beliefs with conversion therapy, argue against your beliefs, and the new habit conditioning. Right? Those are the ones I'm going to show you today. So, the best example of the information changing your beliefs. Ever have a good friend you thought was the best friend in the world, and then one day you found out through a credible source or some way you verified the fact that they've been talking about you behind your back and slamming you and putting you down and making fun of you and all the other stuff. All of a sudden, instantaneously, what happens to your belief about that person? Yeah, it's a completely different belief that you have about that person. Right? As soon as you know that that information is true, as soon as that information has been verified, your belief is now changed. Right? So new information is one of the most common ways that people will change their beliefs. Okay. It's like Cave Technique, it's a website, you go to it, but kind of the idea of what it does, I'm not going to teach you how to do it, but teach you what it is that it uses a form of muscle response testing, very similar that we do here in the office for those guys are coming in. And it finds out which belief systems are not serving you. There's a whole list, a whole protocol they go through. They set your body up in a way that goes through and allows your unconscious mind to change that belief and bring everything and incorporate in that it needs to change it. And then you double check, verify with the muscle response test, is it in fact changed? Limiting decisions. Again, talk about it, but not teaching you how. You make a decision, and it creates a belief. So if you can eliminate that decision, you can eliminate that belief. Change that belief. And so there's actually a technique called, it's related to the timeline therapy, the one on the bottom, that actually goes back, and it's a visual process you do in your head. And it's a guided imagery process where you just imagine stuff in your head, you go through these little steps, and when you do it, boom, it gets rid of that decision. We actually have CDs that you can purchase if you want that does that. $89 we sell them in the office. But I'm going to teach you some other ways. You don't need them, but they're just one of the ways to do it. Aversion therapy. This is one of my most fun ones to demonstrate. Right? Your mind doesn't like pain. Right? The number one motivation for people to go see anybody, chiropractor, doctor, is pain. Right? Body doesn't like pain. So, what you can do is you can do what's called aversion therapy to change your thoughts. So let's say you have a thought that crosses your mind a lot that I'm not good enough in some way, shape, or form, and you want to get rid of it. So what can you do? Right? So what you do is you've got to create some sort of negative stimuli or some negative painful thing or some negative stimulus whenever you have that thought. And very quickly your body goes, that thought causes pain. I don't want that thought anymore. Right? So one of the easiest ways is you can wear a rubber band around your wrist. Right? So whenever you have the thought that I'm not good enough, you take the rubber band, you stretch it out, and you let it go. Everybody goes, ow, I don't like that thought. Right? And then immediately after you have that thought, you snap the rubber band, you say, okay, so what's the thought? I'm good enough, I deserve it, I'm worth it, and you make love to your wrist. Nice. It feels really good after you snap that rubber band. Right? And so then all of a sudden, now you do that for 30 days, and your mind very quickly goes, I'm not going to have that thought anymore. And it very quickly associates that pain with that thought, because you're constantly doing it. And the brain learns really quick. Right? And that's one of the ways. Now you can use anything. You can pinch yourself really hard. You can, kick yourself in the butt really hard. Okay, you can probably do it really hard, but anything that creates a negative stimulus for your body, anything that you don't like, you do it right after you have that thought, and then do a positive loving thought, a positive loving thing to your body, right when you're having that opposite or the positive thought that you're trying to replace or get rid of. Okay? So another example that might be that it takes a long time for my body to heal. Right? Does that belief system serve you? Well, only if you want to take a long time to heal. Right? And so if you ever have that thought, oh, it just takes a long time, it takes a long time for me to heal, it takes a long time. What you can do is you can get rid of that thought. You can get rid of that belief system by going, okay, every time I have that thought, right, pull the rubber band, snap it, and then you go, okay,
I can heal quickly. Right?
And very quickly your body's going to change that belief system because it's going, I'm not having that anymore. And you can do that with any belief system, any thoughts, any things that you don't want going through your mind, any beliefs, anything that, at all that doesn't serve you. And that's my criteria that I use. Is it going to get me more of what I want or further away from what I want? I could care less whether it's true or false, proven or not, accurate. I don't care. And you can do that with anything. Any questions on the aversion therapy? Pretty straightforward and simple. A lot of people won't do it because it's too painful. But it's highly, highly effective. Argument against your beliefs. This is kind of a fun one. This uses a principle that, to me, I love it. Every single human being has this ingrained thing in them to be right. I don't know why, but they do. And it's really simple to prove it. Have you ever seen anybody try and prove themselves wrong? Have you ever seen war started because they were trying to prove that they were wrong? Right? No. People, almost every single person has this natural thing to prove themselves right. So what you do is you argue against what it is that you don't want to believe. Because then all of a sudden now your non-conscious mind, your subconscious mind, is going to start trying to prove that which you just argued against. So let me give you an example. So this up here says, actually there's no example. Let's say the example I want to use is, I can't make money. Right? That's a belief you have. I just can't make money. No matter what I do, no matter what job, I just can't make money. That's a belief you have. So what you do is you argue against it. So you say, okay, you kind of be like, take positions, right? So I'm going to argue against myself now. I'll be like, imagine you're somebody else talking to you, right? That's what you're going to say. You're going to be like, are you stupid? Look at you, you've made money before, you've had a job, and you come up with all the reasons why you can make money. And you do it with as much energy, enthusiasm, passion, emotion as you can. Like, oh, and you just really get into it. You can make money, you've had a job, you've had money before, you've had money in the bank, you've paid your bills, there's a time when everything was being paid on time, I am perfectly right. And then you come back over here and you go, you're right. All right, now it's more effective with two people. Right? And that's what you do. And you go through and you're like, oh my gosh, wow, that's amazing. That is, I never thought about that before. That is so true. Right? Wow, thank you. Right? And, you know, and then you come back and you're like, no problem. I can't believe you didn't do that. Right? Just like a very nonchalant, like, I can't believe you didn't think of that. Like, how do you do that? Got it. Right? Because now all of a sudden, once that sets up in your unconscious mind, that it sets up that now it wants to prove that right. And it's going to use all your energy, both conscious and unconscious, to prove that statement right. Because like I said, I've never seen anybody prove themselves wrong. And so this just uses that natural mechanism to start changing your beliefs. And so again, you're going to take the position that, oh my gosh, I can't believe you think that. And you're going to come up with all the reasons, argument, and passion, emotion, and energy of why that is such a silly belief, or not a good belief, or doesn't serve you, or not true. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that's so true, you're right. Right? And then you come back to the other side and you're like, of course. No. No problem. Now, sometimes you look kind of silly. I'm pretty sure if I go back and watch this video, that I'm going to be like, that's what I really look like. Right? But you know what? It works. Right? It changes your beliefs because it starts just using the natural mechanisms in your body to start proving that it's actually right. Okay. Hypnotherapy. Highly, highly, highly effective. Because what happens is we have this unconscious mind and this conscious mind. Right? And your conscious mind is like the critical barrier. It's like the gatekeeper to your unconscious mind. And so there's all these beliefs and programs in the middle of the unconscious mind, and then the outside is the conscious mind that says, okay, this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go with this, whatever. And there's this critical barrier that goes between them. With hypnosis, what happens is there's a back door. And with hypnosis, we can get past that critical faculty that says, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's not true. Well, that ain't right. Well, this isn't how it's so. And we can actually go in and we can make suggestions to the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind can go, oh, got it. Right? As long as it's in line with his prime directors and the whole bunch of them, blah, blah, blah. But that's why hypnosis is always safe. You can't make people do what they don't want to do. You can't, I mean, to me that's the funniest belief. If you could really make people do with hypnosis what they didn't want to do, do you think anybody would be out there performing stage shows? No, they'd be like, let me hypnotize you, go rob the bank, give me the money, great. Right? Or just hypnotize you, give me all your money, and forgot that you gave me all your money. You can't do that. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. And hypnotists wouldn't be, you know, doing what they do to make money, because they wouldn't have to. So, there's other CDs, right? You can get self-hypnosis CDs. You can get self-hypnosis tapes, right? Some of the best CDs that I've ever seen on reprogramming your beliefs, reprogramming your mind, both conscious and unconscious, are from learningstrategies.com. They're $30 a piece, fixed, and they might remove them. We actually have some that you can check out here and rent if you come in as a patient. But what you do is it's really difficult. It's really difficult to do these. Are you ready? You get a headphones, you put them on, and then you go to sleep. It's a pain in the butt, right? But that's really what it does. And it works on that unconscious level of getting the left and the right brain to work together, reprogramming it, rechanging your belief system so that your body is now congruent with what it is you want to believe, depending on which CD you get. Right? Changing a new belief or with the conditioning and habit. So I'm going to go over this one as well in detail, all right? Because you can do this one as well relatively easy. Becoming aware of your conscious, current, and belief habit, right? You have to be, with this process, you have to become aware that, oh my gosh, that's a belief I want to get rid of, right? Other techniques like the hypnosis and psych technique, you don't necessarily have to be aware of what belief's holding you back. You don't have to be aware of what belief's getting in your way. You can change them without having to know that. With a lot of these ones, you have to know what are they. Right? So they become aware of your conscious or current belief or habit. Okay. Can we help you? So that's the first step, right? So then you want to get leverage on yourself. How you get leverage on yourself is you find the reasons or the things that would happen if you didn't change the belief system. Right? So you have to use your imagination, you have to actually think, I know. Big request, right? Joke. But you think, okay, so what would happen if I didn't change this belief? What would be the outcomes if I didn't change this belief? And you come up with all the reasons why, right? And then one of the biggest, most key crucifiers, you decide, all right, I am going to change. You decide right then and there, right? That I'm changing. Right? Now, you have to interrupt the pattern. You have to scratch the old habit. Habits have a really interesting thing, right? A habit is something that you do or don't do repeatedly. Just as much as you can have the habit of smoking, you can have the habit of not smoking. You can have the habit of not exercising. You can have the habit of not eating healthy. You can have a non-habit. Right? And so when you have a habit, whether it's doing something or not doing something as a habit, you have to break the habit. You have to scratch the record. You have to change that habit pattern. Right? Some examples of how you can scratch the record are whenever you catch yourself doing it, boom, snap the rubber band. Whenever you catch yourself doing it, have an anchor or something that you go back to think about. That's the same thing over and over again. So whenever you catch yourself having, you know, this belief I'm changing, automatically in your mind you know I'm going to think about going rollerblading. And it can be anything. You need to interrupt the thought pattern, scratch it so that it changes that. Right? And then you install a new habit in its place. So if you want to quit drinking coffee, drink tea. If you want to quit drinking coffee, drink water. If you want to quit, what's a belief system or a habit that comes around it? If you want to change your belief systems about, I can't think of any other examples.
Why
smoking? Quit smoking. So you just put a new habit in.
Well, what kind of a habit?
I smoke. In 1 hour through hypnosis, you can eliminate smoking like 98% of the people. Never think about it again. Never pick up a cigarette. Never do anything. Never have to put in new habits. Never have to do anything. Because smoking is like there's a whole thing about it. Smoking is just a habit. That's all it is.
Right.
Oh, but I'm addicted to nicotine. No, we address that. But oh, I do this for that because of stress. No, we address that. And it goes through all those reasons. Because it's just a habit. Okay, just break it. And then the last one. Right? The most important one is you're going to repeat, reward, reinforce the new habit or behavior. Right? Celebrate. You know how many people do stuff and then they just never, ever celebrate that they did that? It's like they something great happens and they're like, great. Something bad happens and then what do? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened to me! And they spend an hour and days talking and telling everybody about how bad it was. And you wonder why they have bad stuff that happens all the time. Because they're constantly reinforcing the negative. Right? So when the positive happens, you want to reinforce the positive. Instead of just going, oh, great. Yeah. You're like, yeah! Guess what happened? Right? In whatever way, shape, or form, you reinforce. You want to reinforce those positive ones. So again, right? Become aware of what you want to change. Figure out what's going to happen if you don't change. Right? Create all the reasons why it's not a good idea to change that belief. Right? Assume responsibility that, all right, I actually have the power to change this. I can do it and decide I'm going to change it. Right? Interrupt the old pattern. Anytime the old pattern happens, do something to scratch it, think about something else, change something else, you know, snap your rubber band, do whatever. Change the old pattern, interrupt it, and put a new habit in its place and reinforce and reward yourself as you're doing it. Any questions on that? So, now I'm going to go into some information because tonight's all about your belief systems and habits and health. So I'm going to change some of your beliefs tonight with your permission in the reference to health. Right? And I'm going to do that with information. Changing your information about some of the beliefs. So the three biggest myths about health. If you have symptoms, you're sick, right? Everybody knows that, right? If you got symptoms, you're sick. If you only have symptoms, or if you don't feel good, right, then you're health. Or sorry, if you don't have symptoms and you feel good, you're healthy, right? Because what's health? You just feel good, right? That's what health is, right? When you feel good, you're healthy. I mean, it's not true. Getting old means getting decrepit into these. I mean, as you get older, you just automatically start breaking down, right? Everybody knows that. You get older, you break down. That ain't true either, right? All these aren't true. I'm going to talk about them. So what is health? It's a quiz for all the people who've been in to see me. Health is feeling good. It's the most common given the answer. Totally not true. What's the most, what's the, when 60% of people have a heart attack, what's the first sign that they have? Anybody know?
Arms.
They're dead. 60% of people have a heart attack. Their very first sign that they're having a heart attack is they die. Had no symptomatology before that. Were they healthy? They probably thought they were not good, right? Everybody knows. Feeling good, healthy. Right? Anybody know anybody ever going for a routine checkup and they got diagnosed with cancer? Were they healthy? They felt good. Didn't have any problems. Right? Feeling good doesn't mean that you're necessarily healthy. Now, I throw a disclaimer in that. It's true. You can entirely go by how you feel of whether or not you're healthy. But the problem is, most people attribute so many of their feelings that, oh, that doesn't mean that I feel healthy. That's just something I deal with. Some guy came in today and said, you know, I'm mostly healthy. Other than my diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and arthritis, I'm healthy. Right? And so you can't go by your feelings, but there's so many things. Bad eyesight is a symptom. Bad eyesight is a sign that your body's not healthy. Right? Headaches, aches and pains. Not having the energy to go do everything you want. Right? And so it's the problem with feeling how you gauge is healthy. You can, but most people don't really fully understand what that all encompasses because they write off so much stuff. It's just normal, common. I have to deal with it as part of it when it ain't. So health is function. Health is how everything in your body, how everything in your mind, how everything in your spirit is functioning. That's what health is. How am I functioning? How is everything working? Because when you have 100% function, everything's functioning, honey, that's when your body's going to be healthy. That's when you're actually going to, and guess what? Yeah, you'll feel good as well. So it's not just about feeling good. And the simplest, easiest of this is this. So do you think it's crucial, do you think it's important for your chemical reactions in your body to be functioning right in order to be healthy?
Yeah.
So who here can feel the chemical reactions that are happening in their body? You have about 100,000 chemical reactions happening every second in your body. Every single second, there's 100,000 different chemical reactions going on. Everybody feel all those? No, you can't feel those chemical reactions, can you? Right? You can't feel the nerve impulses going down your nerves. Right? You can feel pain in your nerves, but you can't feel a lot of the functions in your body. Right? So you can't go by how you feel. You can feel good and have disease. You can have no symptoms and have disease. Right? You can have no results on medical tests and have a breakdown of function. Your liver has to break down on average 40% before the medical test will pick up any enzyme or liver dysfunction. So that means that if you come back with, oh, your liver's fine, well, it could be 39% broken down and you wouldn't even know it. Their test wouldn't pick it up. So how do you know how well your body's functioning? You can't go by what you feel, so how do you know? Good question. Right? There isn't really necessarily a way to tell exactly how your body's functioning. Right? There's tests of things you can do. Right? One of the things we do here in the office is called a functional health assessment. Right? What it does is it actually measures all 60 of the acupuncture points in your hands and your feet. A little machine hooked up to a little computer, and you put in all the little points, and it takes all these little measurements. And based on all the different acupuncture points in your hands and your feet, it says, and it spits out this cool little graph that says, here's how your body's actually functioning. Here's what's actually going on. Okay? It's one of the things we do here in the office, among many other things. Because we want to know what's like functionally, what's actually happening in your body. And that's the best gauge of health.
How much is that
about? I don't know. We don't know. Let me think about it. I can probably figure it out. Think of around 35, give or take a couple bucks. Yeah, it's not that much. You come in, boom, you get it done. I think it's somewhere around there. Right? Some health insurance is paid for it, some don't, depends on your insurance. Right? But that's one of the ways to do it. Right? Right? One of the other beliefs I want to talk about is, do you believe that your body can heal itself? Right? Is the body a self-healing machine?
Right.
One of my favorite analogies for surgery. So I'm going to tell you a little story. Right? So there's this guy, and he's got this watch. Right? And it's a perfectly functioning watch. It's beautiful. It works great. 3 years, the watch functions. Works great. Right? All of a sudden, it stops. Exactly. Let's read my book. And so the guy brings the watch, and the watch repair guy, and the watch repair guy. Aha! I know what the problem is. Your watch has an extra piece in it. When I take it out, it will work. And you're like, what the heck? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So you got another watch repair guy. This guy's a specialist. This guy has all the credentials on watch repair. And so you bring your watch in, and he takes a look at it, and he does a bunch of tests, and he goes, your watch has an extra piece. So if we take out your watch, take out that piece, your watch will work fine. And you're like, hey, he's a specialist. He knows, right? Mm-hmm. Takes a piece out of your watch, gives it back to you, and goes, I fixed it. Mm-hmm. You look at it and go, but it still doesn't work. But the piece is gone. It was an extra piece. Now, you hear that story, and it's like, that's the most ridiculous, ludicrous thing in the world. We have this body that works for 30 years, and one day it breaks down, and we go to this specialist, and he says, you have an extra piece. We need to take it out. Then your body will work fine. Interesting. And it's just always been there as a belief that if your gallbladder's broken down, if your tonsils are broken down, if this is broken down, you just take it out and then your body will be fine. And so we don't question it. We just accept it as true. That's what I mean by how your belief starts to dictate your world and you don't even know it. Right? Not right or wrong, not good or bad. It just makes a difference in your body. Okay. The question that we ask here is a question that almost nobody ever asks. And you can ask yourself this question. If your body is not healing, why isn't it? When's the last time a doctor asked you, let's see if we can't figure out why your body isn't healing. It's supposed to be healing, but it's not. Most people forget, I'm like, wait, the body can heal itself, but almost nobody ever tries to figure out why the body isn't healing itself. Right? One of the major questions that we're always dealing with in this office is we're figuring out, like, what's going on inside the body with the organs, the endocrines, the nerves, and this and that. What's going on that isn't allowing the body to heal itself? We address those issues and deal with it. If you address those issues and deal with it, guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you get the barriers out of the way from your body healing itself? Right. Some of those barriers can be your belief systems. Right. Some of those barriers can be your thoughts. Some of those barriers can be your organs aren't working right. Some of those barriers can be your nerves aren't conducting electrical impulses right. So we don't care so much what's wrong. We want to know why isn't your body healing? And that's what we're addressing. That's what we're dealing with. That's what I highly recommend you start asking the question of, because until you do, you're basically just going to be treating symptoms. You're basically just going to be placating what's going on until you actually allow the body to start healing itself like it is designed. Right? Might mean you have to start eating healthy. I'm not getting the proper nutrients. Right? If you don't have bricks and you want to build a brick house, how well is it going to work? Everybody raise your hand if you want a dollar.
If I want a dollar?
Okay. People are still awake somewhere. Just checking.
We're processing.
I'm entertaining myself too up here. So that's a major important question. Your body heals cancer every single day. You guys know that? Your body gets about 1 million cancer cells every single day. Right? My favorite analogy though is if you're going to make copies, and you're going to make about 1 million copies a second. Do you think all those copies are going to turn out perfect? No, probably not, right? Your body makes about 1 million new cells every single second. And what it's doing is it's copying old cells to make new cells. And so guess what happens? It makes mistakes sometimes. That's all a cancer cell is. A cancer cell is a cell that's divided and grown incorrectly. It's a mistake. It's not copied correctly. Well, your body knows that happens sometimes, and so it has this wonderful thing called an immune system that goes around and kills those cancer cells every day of your life. You get about 1 million cancer cells every day, your body kills 1 million cancer cells. So what happens when people get cancer is their body quit killing those cancer cells. Has anybody ever asked the question of why? No, let's get chemo and radiation, let's cut it out, let's radiate it out. And then at the very end of all of that, what do they say? Hopefully your body can take care of the rest. Well, why not just look at why they take care of it in the first place and deal with it? I'm not saying you have to. I'm not saying you can't go for chemo. I'm not saying you can't go for radiation. But it's interesting. Right? The beliefs we have about chemo and radiation and cancer. When you get cancer, what do? You go get chemo and radiation. Why? Because that's what we've always done. That's what's always happened.
But that's kind of used as a last resort.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, the first one is chemo.
Yeah.
Or else they do surgery to take the
band. They do surgery and then do chemo and radiation and get the rest they didn't get in surgery. Right? People's cholesterol drops every single day. People's heart disease goes away every single day. People's actually fill in the blank of their problem heals every single day. Right? People heal. All the time. When you set up the circumstances, when you do what's necessary in the body to get it to heal, it will heal. It's designed to. And if it's not, look at those reasons, then that's going to be your best solution to getting it to heal. So why your body isn't healing, right? What most people do, kind of already talked about it, but they go out and they go, okay, how do I fix it? How do I treat it? How do I make it better? Right? They think of the body as machines. For the last 70 years, medicine has basically accepted that the body is a machine. And once we understand and know all the parts, then we can fix it like a car. Right? That's been the basic premise. It still is their basic premise. The body doesn't have an inborn wisdom. The body doesn't have an ability to heal itself. The body doesn't have a way that it actually does. It's just a big machine, a bunch of parts. We've got to understand the parts so we can fix the parts. That's what they've been doing for 70 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that the body has a self-healing mechanism, that the body has an inborn wisdom that's designed to get it to be healthy. And that if it's not healing itself, you don't have to go fix it like a car. Now, if your car's transmission breaks down, guess what probably ain't going to happen all by itself? As much as you might want it to. It ain't going to fix the transmission. You got to go get it fixed. It doesn't have an inborn wisdom. It doesn't have some self-healing mechanism that's going to heal the transmission. Right? So, your body isn't like a car, but that's how most people treat it. Let's understand what's wrong so we can fix it like a car. Diagnose the problem, treat it, make it better. Right? So these beliefs don't actually serve you. And I just realized something. My spine is gone. That's good. You guys didn't notice it either, right? Do you believe that viruses cause sickness, bacteria causes sickness? Anybody here have more than one kid? Right? Do they all get sick at the same time even though they live in the same house? No. So you notice, look around, how some people are shaking their heads no. So if the virus and the bacteria cause sickness, and the kids are living in the same house, shouldn't, by theory and definition, all the kids get sick at the same time because it's the same virus they're exposed to? But they don't. Huh, interesting. Okay. So, what medical science did is they went and they looked and they said, oh, people who have pneumonia, they got this pneumonia bacteria in them. That's what causes the pneumonia, because everybody who's got pneumonia has got the pneumonia bacteria. So, of course it must be pneumonia bacteria that causes pneumonia, right? Well, if you go to every single garbage dump in the world, you'll find rats. Does that mean that rats cause a garbage dump? The rats go to the garbage dump to take an opportunity of that. The pneumonia bacteria go to your lungs to take an opportunity of that. Ants go to sugar at a picnic versus meat. Dogs go to meat at a picnic. Bees go to flowers. Right? In nature, everything has its place where it likes to go. Rats like going to dumps, garbage. Ants go to sweet things. So everything's got its own place. And guess what? The pneumonia bacteria aren't any different. Right? One of my favorite little analogies for this one is this. Imagine a tree standing out in the woods, right? And the tree's just standing there all happy and enjoying the sunshine. And it looks over, and the tree next to it, the leaves are kind of brown and starting to fall off. And the tree goes, ooh, get away, I don't want to catch that. Right? We go through cycles. We're part of nature, just like trees. Right? Some trees you go out in the middle of winter, like Christmas trees, evergreen trees, they're going to still have their leaves. Some trees that lose their leaves are still going to have their leaves in the middle of winter, but most of them lose their leaves. Right? You go from spring air to, you go from spring air to summer air, it goes from dry, cold, to wet, hot, and humid. You need a different lining in your lungs and your mucuses to actually deal with that new outside temperature. You go from hot in the summer to cold and dry in the fall and winter, you need a new lining, you need a new look. Well, my lungs, I'm coughing up this stuff. Well, yeah. Right? You're changing with the seasons a lot of times. You people go, oh, that means I'm sick, right? Because I have symptoms. No, you're part of nature. I know, we're the superior race of human beings, but we're still part of nature. We still go through cycles just like everyone else. So viruses, bacteria, don't cause sickness. Now let me ask you a question. Is it true or not? I don't care. I kind of spent some time giving you some knowledge. But if you believe that viruses and bacteria make you sick, and you're around somebody who's sick with the virus and bacteria, guess what's probably going to happen to you? Your belief system is going to find the things that go, oh my gosh, I got a cold, I got sick.
Well, what about E. coli and stuff like that? It's on your counter. That's bacteria. Mm-hmm. Right. And they say on TV, and the doctors say,
it must be true.
Yeah. So you watch out for, like the juice, and you clean up a Lysol.
The E. coli doesn't make you sick. Your body has to be weak before the E. coli will make you sick. Right?
Okay, how about fevers in kids?
Well, I love fevers in kids. We're getting a little bit sidetracked. That's what I mean by it. The more questions you ask, the longer it's going to take.
Okay,
fevers in kids. So fever actually is not a response. It's not a reaction to virus. Fever is actually a good thing. Fever is your body actually created. Now, let me tell you why. So, I don't know if any of you guys ever took chemistry class, right? But if you got two little beakers here and you do a chemical reaction, and then you heat up those two beakers, and you do the same chemical reaction, what happens to the speed of the reaction? Anybody else take chemistry?
No.
Come on. I'll tell you, but it makes it more credible if somebody else can. You heat up the beaker and it happens quicker. Right? Because more energy, more heat, more temperature, the reaction happens quicker. Well, you have chemical reactions, like most of your immune reaction in your body is chemical. You have chemical that has to go to all the different parts, stimulate the white blood cells, the red blood cells, stimulate the lymphocytes, the phagocytes, it's all most of it's chemical. And so if you got a higher temperature, what happens to those chemical reactions in your body is you respond to the virus quicker. If you raise the temperature in your body, some of the bacteria just go, oh, it's too hot in here, I'm leaving. Right? And so people go, well, what about brain damage? Right? There has never, ever been a single documented case of brain damage in a kid that the fever didn't first try to be suppressed. Ever. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. You get a fever, your body creates the fever on purpose. Right? Remember, it's intentional to help get rid of the bacteria. And then you come along and say, I'm smarter than the body. And you give it a cold washcloth or a Tylenol or this or that, and you drop, oh, good, we got the temperature down. The body goes, are you stupid? There's a bacteria in here. I need to get rid of this. Raises the temperature even higher. It's got to make up for lost time. Oh my gosh, we go to the doctor and we get prescription strength medical fever suppressant because it's getting too high. And then it brings it back down. And the body's like, okay, we got this raging bacterial infection in here. And I can raise my temperature up and get brain damage, or I can die. And that's what it does. That's what I mean. You will not find a single documented case of brain damage in any single person unless they first try to suppress the fever.
So when a child has a temperature, then just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
No Motrin, no nothing.
I wouldn't. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not a medical doctor, but I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you do for it then?
Let the body do what it's doing here. The body's a machine. It's broken down. We need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would.
Hmm?
Okay, I can't tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. It's all about information, but
mm-hmm.
fevers are a good thing, right? Do you believe the medical profession is helpful? Right? I gave you the watch analogy already. Mm-hmm. Right? Medicine has its place. I make a distinction. I'm making a distinction between emergency medical care, right, and sickness and disease care. Some people try to call it health care, but it really ain't. Right? So the difference, that's the difference I make. Emergency medical care, you break your bone, you're bleeding, you're gushing blood, you get in an accident, take me to the medical doctor. Have him put a big band-aid on that, have him stop the blood, have him reset the bone. Right? But medicine doesn't do anything to add to your health. If you're sick and you take medicine, they say, oh, you get better. But if I'm healthy and I take the same medicine, what's going to happen? Huh, wait a second here. If I take medicine and it makes me sick, how in the world can you give it to somebody who's sick to make them better?
No, I don't know.
All it does is cover up symptoms.
No.
Right? So medicine has their place when people refuse to do anything to add to their health. When people refuse to change, because it'll help cover up the symptoms and it'll make it nice and better, right? Life-threatening situations, accidents, problems, yeah. Things where they went too long. Yeah, they're helpful, right? You got a big tumor that's about ready to block your carotid artery and you have no blood going to your brain. Can't cut it up, but you have to still deal with the fact that it hasn't been dealt with. You haven't dealt with why that got there in the first place. Right?
So what you're advocating is preventative medicine?
Yeah, like I'm not going into too much. Like, there's another talk that I do that how to heal anything, right? And I start going through it in more detail. What you actually do to start adding to your health, what you actually do to get your body and keep it functioning, right? So tonight it's more kind of around the belief systems, but changing the beliefs and really altering and viewing how you see the world because your beliefs are dictating everything, right? So unless you do something to change them, you're going to get those same choices and you're going to get the same results. No matter who I go to, my neck doesn't get better. And I know automatically I've got to change this person's beliefs some way, shape, or form. I'm going to get the same results. Right? You believe symptoms are the problem. So many people believe that, oh, if I have a neck pain, I've got to get rid of it. If I have high cholesterol, I've got to lower it. If I got this, I've got to treat it. Well, the symptom isn't the problem. The symptom's telling you that there's a problem. And if you have the belief that symptoms are the problem, you're never going to deal with what's actually going on underneath. Right? High cholesterol is not the problem. Anybody remember way back when why they started giving cholesterol medication to lower the cholesterol? Why did they start doing that? Yeah, exactly. Very congratulations. What's your cholesterol? Flu. Right? Prevent heart disease. They said, oh, high cholesterol causes heart disease. So if we lower your cholesterol, you'll have less heart disease. Now, the interesting part about that is that that's why it all started. That's why we tried to start lowering the cholesterol. But now, why are we trying to lower the cholesterol? To lower the cholesterol. And the most interesting part is watch the end of any single cholesterol ad. Read the fine print in any single cholesterol lowering drug ad. And what they'll say is, has not been shown to prevent heart disease. Interesting. So why are we lowering the cholesterol? Because cholesterol is a bad thing. Because we thought it would prevent heart disease if we lowered the cholesterol. But what they actually found is that none of the drugs actually reduce heart disease risk. So why are 10 million Americans taking a pill that costs $3 a day? The symptoms are not the problem. The symptoms are telling you that there is a problem. And if you don't deal with that underlying problem, it's going to cause you bigger problems later on. You believe high cholesterol is a problem, isn't it? Right? Arthritis. You believe there's nothing you can do to heal arthritis. Well, guess what? If you believe there's nothing you can do to heal arthritis, guess what? You're probably never fine. A way to find something to heal arthritis. Right? We actually have a program here in the office that's 95% effective when people follow our recommendation to get rid of arthritis. At least 25% of the pain gone. Right? Not very old. Part of the reason why not many people know about it, only two doctors in Florida who discovered it started teaching in 2000, but it's highly effective. Okay. You believe you have no control over your thoughts and emotions. The outside world dictates how I feel, right? Everybody just knows that. That's just the way it is. I can't control my emotions. My emotions are a response to what happens out there. If you believe that, guess what's going to happen? The outside world is going to dictate your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings. I don't know about you. I don't like that. I don't like that my feelings are going to be dictated by what happens out there. I want to feel good all the time. I want to be happy all the time. Right? So is it true that the outside world dictates your thoughts and emotions? Well, I'd argue that it actually doesn't. But either way, I'm going to believe that I get to say how my emotions are, that I get to say how my feelings are. Because when I change that belief, I get to feel happy all the time. One of my quote that I really like is, smile. People will wonder what you're up to. Okay. Now, how do you change your beliefs again? It goes back to that list, right? You can do aversion therapy, snap the rubber band. You can use a Psych-K technique. You can do the reprogramming habit or belief, right? The six-step process. You can do the argument against your beliefs. Okay. There's many different ways. You can do the CDs from Learning Strategies. You can do the CDs that we sell about eliminating limiting decisions so that your beliefs change. And there's many different ways to do it. But if the beliefs don't serve you, change them. Okay. So look at that. They changed me again. There's a big list here. Right? I just someone who told you about some of them. Okay. So all the info from tonight is actually on our website, abcteachwellness.com, and it's spelled DEITV, which is different than most teachers. Okay. If you go on there, scroll down to the very bottom on the left, it'll say Power Your Mind and Beliefs Talk, and the PowerPoint slide will actually be on there. You can download it and all the information that was on this. You can actually print it off, do whatever you want with it. Okay. Future talks, if you want to leave your name and email address. Some of you already have, some of you don't. We send out email updates. We also put them on the website. We do all sorts of different talks like this all the time as far as just, you know, here's the power of your mind, here's the power of beliefs, here's the power of how to heal anything. Some of the talks we do, how to get rid of arthritis, how to heal your arthritis, stress management workshops, how to eliminate stress and three easy steps, things like that. So right now, our next scheduled talks are the last week in July, right? Given a bunch of talks, and those will actually be at the public library. So if you need to check our website, give us a call, put your name on our email list. We'll let you know about it. Thank you all for coming tonight. This is one of my favorite topics that I really enjoy doing. So, give me the opportunity to be here and share with you now. There's one test, though. I told you this at the beginning. You actually have to do it to have a significant difference. So what I want you to do is I want you to pick from this list, what are you going to do? And what belief are you going to change? Pick one. Think of one belief that doesn't serve you, one belief that doesn't give you what you want. Pick one of these techniques and change it. It's going to start to form a habit. When you get that belief changed and that belief system is no longer in the way anymore, do another.